Welcome to Vox Vomitus, also known as Word Vomit.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the bikini party at Vox Vomitus. I am your host, Jennifer Ann Gordon, the author of Beautiful, Frightening, and Silent, Pretty Ugly, and the recently released The Japanese Box and Other Stories. Joining me today, as always, is my Vox Vomitus vixen, Allison Martine, author of the Bourbon Books, which include Dibs Since September, Move On Melinda, and Climb the Salmon Ladder.
Okay, look, a bikini actually is the official uniform of a romance author. It's just surprising it took me this long to do it.
And I feel like, as a horror author, if you got the full bikini shot, it would still be on brand. Because people would be like, nice bruises, Jennifer. How many tattoos do you have?
And why are we dressed like this, Jennifer?
We are dressed like this because we have one of our favorite guests of all times, the one, the only, May Cobb, author of Hunting Wives, My Summer Darlings. And but for here, for today, our main focus is A Likeable Woman. And I don't have the paperback because I read it on a Kindle. The bikinis would make sense.
Yeah, so I've been showing this picture around, and yes, that's what she looks like. So we're like, we have to look like that, and we don't look like that, but we try.
We don't look like that, but we both have blue bathing suits.
But yes, we actually both own these. We did not go out and purchase these. I haven't worn this in a couple of years because it's like stretched out and doesn't fit great anymore. And normally, because I'm the mom vibe, I wear my little rash guard over it to keep the sunburn. Because as you can tell, I'm really pale.
Yeah, so I know it seems like an OnlyFans thing right now, but eventually we're going to cover up a little bit.
What is this vibe?
This is the vibe. May, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Last time you were on our show, it started with a very dramatic moment of you getting hot sauce in your eye, which is probably, I mean, it was sad for you, but one of Allison and I's favorite Vox Vomitus memories. Because we're like, remember that time that Maycon got hot sauce in her eye?
So random.
Probably wearing bikinis. We don't know what's happening.
I know. People are like, hey, what is
it? I should have my pulled up and I don't, it's in the other room. Should I get it? Nah.
No, later.
No, it's later. Later. We'll vamp and you can go get it. So tell our listeners and our viewers a little bit about yourself, as my fan myself, because it's really hot, and a little bit about A Likeable Woman, which I think is probably one of my favorite titles.
Yes.
Ever.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me back. I love hanging out with y'all so much.
Because of things like this, where we're like,
exactly.
We're going to be half naked.
And I'm getting more dressed. I'm putting on my see-through NASA
shirt.
Slightly better? Slightly.
Oh, I love it. I wish we were at an actual pool together.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's stupid hot here. And you're in Texas. It's always stupid hot there.
Yeah, it's bad, but it's the first time, like as of yesterday, that it hasn't been 100. So it feels great.
Oh, so it's fall.
Yeah. It's fall. So hot. It's like 90, whatever, but it feels, I can do anything under 100. Like, but it's been like 105 for a month. No rain. Awful. Yeah.
Have you been getting the humidity? Because I'm in Orange County, California, and we've been getting Florida's weather for some reason, and it's been just gross. And it's 90, and then it just starts raining on me while I'm trying to bring on the laundry. And I'm going, what? No.
That is gross. Yeah.
It is gross.
Yeah. It's always humid here, even if it really doesn't rain. But I, a little bit about me, I guess I'm a thriller writer and I'm from Texas and I live in Texas and I write about Texas. That's
shocking.
And we joked when you got the hot sauce in your eye, that was like the most Texas thing
ever. It was. It really was.
You know?
Yeah. Guilty. Yeah.
But I feel like, so you write a lot about East Texas and you write a lot about a certain kind of person in East Texas. Would they get hot sauce in their eyes? Maybe the husbands in their polo shirts and their khaki pants that you wrote about in A Likeable Woman, they'd be hot sauce in the eyes.
Definitely. Yeah, for
but
sure.
But like a Katie.
What was it, like Chardonnay in the eye? Like, I feel like it would just be wine straight to the eye.
I'm so shocked that that hasn't happened in any of your books because there's some, we got to talk about the drinking. I know we've talked about it in the past that these women that you write about can drink 3 bottles of Chardonnay, still have a banging bikini body. Meanwhile, I'm in a bikini and covering my stomach right now because I had like 4 bites of macaroni and cheese 3 days ago.
Well, it is like they wake up there and they punish themselves for hours on a treadmill or Peloton or whatever people get on. I don't know.
It's Peloton.
It's Peloton these days.
And then they start drinking like at 4 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And
4 is not bad. I feel like in Hunting Wives, they started drinking earlier than that.
Yeah, a little bit earlier.
The kids are at school. They're out by the pool with the glass in the hand. And the glass is like this size.
Yeah. The Hunting Wives were so extreme, I had to tone it down a little.
Because I feel like
daring everybody.
The characters in A Likeable Woman are weirdly your most down to earth so far that I've read. And that's saying something.
Yeah.
I was like, these seem almost normal.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of the purpose. It was kind of like, if I may say, like, oh gosh, this is my middle finger to Goodreads reviewers who are so aghast at my unlikable women. So here's your likable woman. Here she is.
Oh my God, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much because everybody, all authors know we love our reviewers. We love anybody who reads and reviews our books. But Goodreads is not a great place for our self-esteems to exist.
No.
And I'm grateful for Goodreads, so I hope I haven't canceled my whole self. But
no, you haven't.
But the level of pearl clutching was just like astounding to me because I'm like, it's a novel. I'm not writing a manual on how to live your best life.
Like how to live your best Texan life by May Cobb.
Seriously. First, and if they read,
drop
if
those
they
kids
thought?
Off at school. Second, start drinking. Third, do the pool boy. Fourth, keep drinking. Five, do I have kids?
Body in the lake. Who knows? I mean, that's the thing is if they seem to have missed the ridiculousness of the murder and all the other antics, they were clearly not paying attention. But I've had those readers who just, it's clear they missed the assignment, like what the point of the book was. And one of my friends, their book is not out yet. I will not name names, but they got a reader and it was so unclear what they were even saying. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but this person just wasn't smart enough for your book. Like they didn't understand what was happening. And that is not on you. Like if they didn't pass the second grade reading comprehension, that cannot be on you. But anybody who's reading a book where it's got like lipsticks and bullets on the cover and thinks it's a manual on what they should be doing.
You know, or like My Summer Darlings, where it's like these three gorgeous rich women are all doing the same guy.
But he was really hot, so.
He was so hot, though, because he's Alexander Skarsgård.
Alexander Skarsgård, at least in my head.
Yeah, definitely, in my head and in my heart.
Yeah. And you're like, in my heart, I can understand why these women were behaving the way they were.
Like, that's terrible behavior, but did you see him? Okay, so that just glosses over right there.
Yeah, it's funny. I don't know why I did this last night. I was on Amazon and I found a funny review of Summer Darlings and it was like, you know, it was one star and it was like 60% of the first, you know, part or the first 60% are just people sleeping together in profanity. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yes.
That's a 5-star review for most people.
You need to put that on like an ad.
Yes. Seriously,
like one star,
too much sex.
And profanity. I would buy a book based on that.
Yeah, like there are people who then will give some people low stars because there wasn't enough spice or enough anything. Everybody has different tastes. And I really feel like there should be an objective stars and a subjective stars. Was it well written? Were the characters interesting and engaging? Or how well was it written were the sex scenes? Because that matters to me too. Like if the sex scenes are bad versus sex scenes are good.
Yeah.
I'm taking stars. I'm throwing stars, giving bonus.
As the world's worst writer of sex scenes, I'm now like petrified. I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah, but Jennifer, the only sex scene of yours I have ever read was intentionally bad and beautifully written to make me just go, ah. That was actually what I said when I read it. But that was just like, I just wrote a really awful sex scene. And it wasn't like sexual assault or anything.
Nope. It was just bad sex.
Horrible people doing horrible things. And it makes sense in the moment. You're probably going, what the hell? But no, it makes sense. But yeah, I feel like some of those reviewers. So I mean, getting back to A Likeable Woman and why you wrote this, you're like, are you a likable reviewer?
The sequel.
I so appreciate all reviews. I appreciate anyone reading my book. And I get that all books aren't for everyone. You know, I don't love every book I read. So I totally get it. And I'm kind of being funny when I said it was like my, you know.
No, exactly. But I love that because here's the thing. I've even had conversations with my agent, with editors, where, you know, because I write darker fiction and I'm like sort of going into maybe like a crime-ish thrillery mm-hmm. area sometimes with my work, that, and I've heard over and over again, oh, but just like make her a little bit more likable.
Yeah.
It's never make the male character more likable.
No, never, never. So
that, and I get it.
Yeah. But like, that's the hill that I've chosen to die on, I guess. And yes. I did like, this is a more serious thriller than my others. So it wasn't just that I'm like, it's this backlash and I'm writing the most relatable character that I've written yet, but it's like very personal, emotional thriller to write. So they are more grounded, and I appreciate you saying that. I wanted to do something more almost like traditional, where it's like a closed circle set over a weekend, you know.
And I love, like, I'm a sucker for those, like, oh, it's a wedding, it's a big party.
And everybody's there.
Yeah.
But I also, what I really appreciated in A Likeable Woman was that Granny and Hilda had this great gothic-y kind of like flowers in the attic vibe when I'm like, oh no, Kira, don't spend more than one night in that house.
No.
Just because like talking about how like that it hasn't changed in the past however many years. And I loved that setting too. And how it bounced between that and then like the hipster bowling alley.
Thank you. I liked writing that. I tried to go a little gothic with them, so I'm glad you picked up on that.
Okay. I mean, I'll find the gothic in everything. I feel like I should cover my boobs now. Now that we're getting in a serious conversation.
Where you are, I don't know if you can. She's not wearing her glasses, so she doesn't know what she's saying.
I can't really see
a lot of it, so you're fine. I'm just like, if you put it on, but if you get hot again, take it off because it's stupid hot where you are. So Kelly says, likable women aren't interesting, said the person whose female critique group finds her in progress main character unlikable. Well, Kelly, considering your last one was basically a kleptomaniac, then I'm not
sure. I love.
If you know how to write those kind of women, and we don't want you to, so don't change.
I prefer a lovable character to a likable character. Like, I want them to be really difficult to like, but really easy to love. And I've loved all of your characters, May. Like, you know, I'm still obsessed with Margot from Hunting Wives, and she's problematic.
Margot Glasses.
I share a birthday with her.
Yes. Yes.
And she's freaking the best.
You're basically Margot.
I'm basically Margot, except in a lot of ways not.
Hopefully.
Yes. Well, not the murderous ways, but
not in the murder part.
Hey, Kelly, I'm so glad you're here, and don't listen to that whatever it is.
No.
I want part of the reason I write these books is because I don't want to push the moral compass in my own life, but I can do it on the page. So I love getting inside a character's head and seeing how far they will go. I love the training.
Yes.
You know, like that's fun. And it's for me, it's fun as a reader to get to go on that trip too, because it's Allison, like you said, it's like, it's ridiculous. You know, it shouldn't probably happen in your real life. So.
Yeah.
But
I know in my circle of friends, that's not how we behave or party even. Like, we don't go to a bar and we're like, 9 bottles of Chardonnay later, we're deciding to shoot some guns
in a field. Let's
get in the car.
Like, at night,
like, with like strangers. And I'm like, but that's so titillating. I hate to say that to read, because I'm like, a little bit reminds me of like my bad behavior in high school when I would just like get into the car with strangers that I met in random places and they'd be like, we have the keys to the basement of a church. Want to go party? And I was like, yeah. And now
I grew up, And Jennifer, I grew up with the people who somehow had those keys to the basement at church. And so there's other stories there. Like, why do you have keys to the basement at church? But I will say, so the first two books that we read of yours and had you on for with Hunting Wives and My Summer Darlings were that kind of intentionally titillating, no one actually lives like this, we hope, kind of thing, which was their draw. But this one is a feminist thriller. And yes, we had everything's kind of the bottle episode in terms of what's happening with our main character, but we're also getting a lot of what was happening with her mom back in her day. And that's
why I am obsessed with.
Like. Yeah. And I adored that because this was like a thriller, but a dual timeline thriller with a thriller in both parts. So not just like, oh, well, there's a backstory and she's trying to solve it, but there's both points here. And I really love that. And can I just smack her sister, please?
Yeah.
So I had to go there. I'm not saying anything about my own sister. My sister would never do that.
Sister would never do that to you. I also love the fact that this still remains being an absolute thriller in two different timelines, but at the same time, it's also a really amazing story about grief and long grief. Because it's not like, oh, mom died yesterday. And it's, you know, next year and I'm over it. It's like, this is how grief can affect your life. So like, and this is not a spoiler because like Kira admits it early on. It's like her life has been halted.
Yeah.
By this tragedy.
Yes. Yes. No, I appreciate you saying that. Cause that was when I was kind of like trying to work out what the book was about. It did kind of come to me that like she can't move on because she's carrying this survivor's guilt and she's aware of it somewhat, but it's not really till she goes back home and then she realizes she has this epiphany. Mom wouldn't want me to stay like this. Like just because her life ended right before she had her first art showing, it doesn't mean I need to hold myself back. And so that, I don't want to give any away, but that
I know it's like dot dot dot. Said May, do you have an artistic background? I wrote a lot about collage, and art and art classes, and as somebody with an artistic background, you were correct. Like it didn't seem like.
Okay.
And then I did this thing, and I'm like, that's not how you would prepare a canvas.
Like painting.
Well, it's interesting. I'm really useless with that stuff, but Sadie's based on my mom a lot, and my mom's always been artistic, and she made those intricate batiks. I mean, she still does. She's still with us, and then she's partially also based on a friend who's no longer with us, my friend Carmen, and she was a painter and artist, did a lot of collage, and definitely, like my mom, pretty hardcore feminist. And so they both, I mean, more my mom, they both really fueled the, you know, Sadie's art. So getting to like grow up with my mom, and then I lived with Carmen for a couple of years, like in college after, and she was this very driven person. I kind of like was able to absorb all that.
Did either of them have an art shed?
Carmen did. Yeah, Carmen did actually.
I love it. I feel like we all want a she shed.
Right?
Oh, so Samantha Bailey has a she shed that she writes in. You know that. I'm like, when she was on our show, we were like, tell us more about your shed, please.
We're just like,
I know.
Like, we want to hear about the book, but really, how do we get our own shed?
Well, and one of my
is there a grant we can apply?
Yeah, one of my friends recently, they put a pool in their backyard and they put it like a little cabana in. And when I first was hearing about this, I thought it was just be like a place that you could change and have a shower or something. But it has like a whole couch in there. And she's like, oh, I can come out here and work. I'm like, can I come out here and work? Yeah. I know that I don't live here, but can I come work here?
Yeah. Seriously, that's and I'm obsessed with Sam Bailey. She's such a dear friend, and I'm so happy she has that she shed.
I love it. Is she close enough? You can be in her she shed sometimes.
No, she's in Canada, isn't she?
Oh, I love.
It's really far. It's closer to me.
Canada.
Yeah.
But it's still like 11 and a half hours.
Is it really? That's crazy.
Well, because I live in the middle of nowhere in New Hampshire, and even though New Hampshire touches Canada. And it's not super far from her. Just to get to my nearest city
takes like 45 minutes of just like back roads until I can get to a highway.
Okay, gotcha.
Why
okay.
do I live here?
Yeah, Jennifer lives in the middle of nowhere.
Not this week. This week I'm dog sitting in the big city.
What is the big city there?
Well, it's not even the biggest city. It's just our capital. It's Concord. It's a big city of like 40,000 people.
Okay.
And I don't know how many we have, but I feel like I'm still in a bigger city than you are here in Orange. Yeah.
I'm sure you are. Trust me. But at least this place has DoorDash.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and I wanted to get back to just a little note on the art and stuff. My mom was not super into art necessarily as a creator. She's one of the ones who taught me to appreciate art and appreciate education. And she was the one who would go with her two friends and they would go take classes at the local community college, even though they all had their degrees. They weren't towards higher education. They just thought it was
lifelong learning is so important.
Exactly. And so they took classes in pre-Columbian and Chicano art. And for a while she was like, Frida Kahlo is everything and loved all that. And Georgia O'Keeffe. That's how I knew these things growing up before anything else. And one of the things we got her for Christmas one year was a batik from one of the local third world hand arts. So that's the only reason I even knew what a batik was. And I was super interested in the process. I'm like, my mom had a batik. I don't know where that is either. So now I need to like call my dad, go, where's mom's batik?
Yeah, like I want it now, and I'm gonna like put it right next to May's book in my
an odd combo, but yes,
and be like, "This is Sadie's artwork."
I could do that, although I don't think she was a native like person from Ethiopia, like that.
No, yeah, definitely don't.
Like handiworks from the people in that tribe, not Sadie.
Can I ask two quick questions? You've got some interesting male main characters and a likable woman. So I'm not going to talk too much about who they are necessarily, but you would have what I would call hot Randall and hot Jack. And in my brain, once again, hot Randall is Alexander Skarsgård.
Is it always Alexander Skarsgård? I did not picture him at all.
I pictured him because like she said tall and immediately I'm like tall, but I thought
the tallest guy on the planet.
Well, to me, yes. but because Adam Driver, I'm secretly married to him, so I don't cast him in things unless it's my book or your book because we share him as
I actually named him Adam, so I'm like, here.
So did I.
I'm like, exactly. Try to make it easy.
So I pictured Randall as like Alexander Sarsgaard and Jack. I pictured Milo Ventimiglia.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah.
Because. Like, you can't get over that.
Yes.
I mean, I watched Gilmore Girls, and I'm still not over it.
Not over
it. Yeah.
That's
really, really top-notch casting.
Hollywood, if you're ever not on strike.
Sarah Halifin called me. I have
fun. Did you have people in mind?
Oddly enough, for this one, I did not.
They were just like real fictional characters. It wasn't fan fiction.
They really were.
I love it.
Yeah, kind of like for the first time. It's
just, book four, for the first time, it's not Alexander Skarsgård.
Well, and I was going to say, so based on the way when we're introduced to Randall and all these things, I wouldn't have pictured Alexander Skarsgård mostly because there's intentionally some kind of uncomfortable vibes from him. And then people are saying things about him that are not positive. And I don't know, I guess I just know enough guys like that I was picturing a half dozen guys I went
to. I also pictured like a little bit Matthew McConaughey, but younger. No offense to the age he is now, but he is more of a grown-up age and these are we're younger people.
Grown up?
I mean, that's funny. He is from my hometown, so that's funny.
Shut up. Did you go to high school with him? So it's Matthew McConaughey is what we're saying. And Randall is, got it. That tracks. I'm fine with that.
Just enough of that vibe when he wants to, like not always, but he can make you feel just a little uncomfortable with some.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I'm laughing.
Oh, sorry. I've got to take a beat.
He's like, hold on.
Hold on. Okay. Continue, May.
I don't know what I was talking about.
We were talking about Matthew McConaughey. No.
Reminded you of, well, he's from your area. So he probably would fit that vibe.
Yeah. Pretty well. Yeah.
And to me, you know,
is that what Randall's voice would have sounded like? But with a little less stoner.
Yeah.
Or he just says, ladies.
Lori.
Matthew doesn't really sound like, I don't know where his accent comes from, to be
honest. Hollywood.
Yeah. So I,
they were like, can you please sound more Texan?
All right.
Yeah. Worst accent ever.
But we can pretend that's what he sounded like.
I would say take some like soft sandpaper and rub all the hard edges off the Matthew McConaughey accent, and then that's what I would want Randall to sound like.
Yeah, that's
like a little bit like dripping honey, and a little bit less like I'm looking at high school girls outside a gas station.
That's what I was going to say in terms, and again,
like a little less.
People are talking about him and upset about him.
Like, look at May.
He's not.
Oh no, May, don't touch your eyes. We don't know what's on your fingers.
How about you?
It's nail polish remover.
No.
Don't
do it.
My dog is barking because I'm screaming like a lunatic upstairs.
Well, and I was going to say, one of the things that I liked about these characters are because they felt more real, and maybe because you weren't just casting Hollywood people, that they were, in many ways, when they were in peril, the peril was heightened because you're like, oh shit, what's happening? It felt like this could actually be happening, and even Tula and Tubby agree. But like, it was like a heightened sense of, holy shit, what's happening here with these people, and where are these texts coming from, and who's threatening her? And anytime she was ever alone, I was getting physically nervous.
Really?
I'm like, yeah, because I didn't know. There were multiple people that I was like, where is this coming from? Like, my list of suspects like kept changing order based on hers.
And I loved that too.
Yeah.
And like, also nobody there was like a huge fan of Kira.
Yeah.
I know you're like, back to her sister. I think one of my favorite parts, and it's like such a throwaway scene, is when like she starts getting these anonymous texts, and she does exactly what every normal person would do, is go to Google and go, how do I trace an anonymous text? And that made me laugh out loud, because I feel like I've done something dumb like that, where it's like, I can handle this myself. Google's going to tell me how to do it. And then it's like, it's impossible. And you're like, crap.
Yeah. That was tricky because I didn't know. So I myself was Googling, like, and I was hoping it was possible, you know, like plot wise, like, oh, please let this be
impossible. At least, like, it can't be impossible, but it can be like, oh, it's very tricky, especially if it's a burner phone.
And that's it.
There it is.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Burner phone. And Lori also pointed out, this is the Dogs Gone Wild edition. Lori, they're not the ones wearing bikinis.
Lori, I'm in a bikini. Did she just call me a dog?
That's why I'm confused. The ladies are in the bikinis. The dogs are just dogs.
Oh, actually, but a lot of May's books are Dogs Gone Wild, because those men that you write about are a little.
Yeah. Lori's right.
Yeah, that really is. That is like spot on.
Also, I would like to go. I've never been invited to the kind of wedding where everyone wants to take care of me for an entire weekend and all this stuff. I feel like I don't hang out with the right kind of Texans.
I went to one wedding like that, and I was, I think, 22. It was a girl I was doing theater with, and she was marrying the heir to a flower shop fortune. So the entire... Yeah, because it's like a New England giant flower shop that does the flowers for everything, every funeral, every wedding, everything. So this wedding was about flowers. Like, our bouquets were really heavy. I was a bridesmaid. I'm like, this is so heavy. But it was 3 days of, now it's time for our scenic trolley ride around the city.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I'm not doing this sober. And I spilled champagne all over myself. I was the only person
who
did that.
I love it.
That's on brand.
You are Margot.
I'm Margot. I'm like, I'm not doing this sober. I'm bringing a bottle of champagne because you gave me a basket of them in my room.
Yeah.
Souvenir.
I didn't bring any home.
Yeah,
and I was definitely a hunting wife during that weekend.
You can't bring that unopened bottle. Nah, you gotta just finish it. Isn't that illegal? Yeah, you just finish it, you know. And I've been to weddings like for family, friends and stuff, and then had family entertain you because you're there, but not something so scripted and like everybody's gonna go get manicures and now it's time for your
and paint your own wine glass.
I do. This is fun.
I haven't been to those either, to be honest, but I've definitely heard about them.
And I love that Kira, obviously she had a lot on her plate that weekend, so she wasn't necessarily intrigued by painting her own wine glass. But I love that like her excuse for many things was just like, oh, just like a, I just like got it, like my hair, like I've got a jet lag. Her hair. Well, yeah. But not washing her hair forever was the best.
It was really tricky because I know, like, it was tricky because I didn't want her to, like, some people are like, she would have just read the whole book in one sitting. And I'm like, I do understand.
But that's not the way a novel can be paced.
Yeah, that was I wanted Sadie's story to unfold with her, you know, beats and her plot twist. Yes. And this cliffhangers and not have it just all dumped out there.
Because then you're basically writing two separate books, right? And but neither of them have an ending until the end.
Yeah. Right.
You did it in a really tactful way because I have read and harped on those authors who are like, yes, here this person finds something that's devastating and life-changing, and they're going to read one chapter and then go about their life for a day and then come back to it. Like yours is, she is literally being pulled away because she has these things to do and she can't.
You need to get those mani-pedis.
Yeah, like she has
those
to be
those women
out
are bitches. She has to go.
And it's over the course of a couple hours, not like weeks. That's I won't say which author did that. I've already publicly ranted about that. But Regina needs to know what Flower Shop Fortune, it needs to be a title of something. But Jennifer, I'm
that
actually-
That does sound like I just had a murder to that weekend and there's a book.
Here, write the book. I'm just like, the heavy flowers get so heavy that you need wheelbarrows. And then instead of wheelbarrows, then you're just pushing potted plants around. I feel like that could work too. Like
they shipped in miniature trees. Yes, they shipped in so many miniature trees.
Miniature lime tree. And
I know. It's like, I'm holding an avocado plant in like a terracotta bucket.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, and the flowers were beautiful. And I was just a measly bridesmaid and I could barely hold my bouquet to walk down the long aisle and then stand there for a million years. The bride was like, she was like, thank God I'm from, she was from the Midwest. I'm not going to say where, but she was tall and like gorgeous, and strong.
She's like, I'm ready.
She wasn't 5'2" weakling right here. Yeah. She was like, you know, 5'11" and worked out.
You're ready. Well, and the person I feel bad for is probably the maid of honor because at least traditionally in a wedding, the at a certain point, the bride gives her flowers to the maid of honor or matron of honor so the bride can turn and take the husband or the
girl. Right. So the maid of honor was also of the same lineage, bloodline-wise and type-wise. So she was actually like taller and a little stronger. So
I have no muscles. I don't know.
But it was still, I'm like, that's a lot of flowers to carry as I'm just like shaking, holding my bouquet.
Yeah. And in terms of overkill, Kelly points out correctly that in May's book, they're not even there for a wedding. They're there for a vow renewal. So it's like, what are y'all doing for a vow renewal? Everything. We're doing everything. It's amazing. But I love it. And Lori wants us to know that she's not talking about, she was talking about the dogs barking, not that we are dogs. We know.
But we had to like try to work it back to the book.
I know.
Not my dogs barking.
When I hear dogs gone wild, like, are they in bikinis too? Did they do sex tapes? Dog sex tapes.
I was like, no. Ew, Allison. No.
No.
Bad girl. No.
Down.
These dogs, down. Down. These are siblings.
I know. So that would be like the VC Andrews version.
Oh my God. And they are very just like, they look so similar, like little twins.
Lannisters.
Oh my God. Game of Thrones meets my dogs. Oh, this episode's coming up with some really great ideas for my future work. Sure. My agent's going to watch this and be thrilled. Oh, you're writing what? Great.
Our agents were like, why are y'all in bikinis? And we're like, eh.
I know. Don't you know you're on the internet?
I didn't know this.
I'm a serious author.
Well, it's funny because some of the times
what am I doing?
Like, seriously, sometimes I've worn these dresses on this show and they're normal dresses, but because of how my hair is, I'm like, I could be nude. We can't really tell.
That would be fine too. I mean, eventually, yeah, moving on. Like, I'm like, we got to do what we have to do to get those ratings.
But May, I would say that despite the fact that they were going a little over the top for a vow renewal in terms of all the stuff they were doing, the character wise, it was very believable. And even the people, it's like, you can see these people doing that because it's basically a celebration to how amazing we are. Yeah. And we need to show everyone how amazing we are. Don't you want to share in our happiness?
Yeah, exactly.
But were they happy? I mean, people should read the book. I'm like, no. I mean, the way you just described the men's belts that they wear, I'm like, no woman could be happy married to that. May's like, that's my husband's belt.
Like, no, it's very rude of me to describe it that way, but it's the truth.
We know. And I feel like that's part of what brings your books to life, because there were so many different scenes showing the juxtaposition and the social classes and like a hipster bowling alley, like you said earlier. And then they're in like the bar next door to the hipster bar bowling alley at one point. And like,
which is of course in a strip mall. Thank God. That is so realistic. And they only serve like, you know, like bottles of beer and like buckets and pitchers and well drinks. And I'm like, and weirdly, I just feel like I've had this memory of me escaping several terrible events to go to someplace like that, just so I could be like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Like sit in a booth with a cracked seat. And I'm just like, just give me a Jack and Diet Coke.
Yes. You feel normal. Yeah.
Normal. And I don't have to be like, oh, this cocktail has a raw egg in it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm supposed to drink this while bowling.
Yeah. Yeah,
totally. Wait, why is there a raw egg in a drink?
There's one, and it was only proposed to me, and I didn't drink it because I'm like, and how much is that? And they're like, it's $34. And I'm like, no. No.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I love to poke fun at that kind of stuff. And I like we all, can relate to the different class stuff, I think, you know?
Yeah. And it's not even necessarily class with like the quote unquote hipster stuff, because there's a hipster bar in the town I'm in right now that I absolutely love. I'm not going to name it because they probably get mad that they're called a hipster bar, but I love them, but it's craft cocktails. They're overly expensive. You're paying for the vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I like to be there.
Yeah, and my favorite brunch place, which is like a mini chain out here, is totally hipster, but that's like part of their appeal, and their food's amazing, and I will take pictures of their food when I'm there, because it's like, yeah, you guys are paying to make it look Instagram hip and all that stuff.
Exactly, and they're doing a good job, and that's why people are there. So would I go to a hipster bowling alley? 1,000,000%.
Yeah, me too.
Would I like, and I would love it, but if I was there with like a bunch of people I went to high school with, would I have 1 to 2 cocktails and then go to a dive bar in a strip mall a block away? Yes.
Yeah. And it also, go ahead, May.
No, yeah, I was saying exactly.
Well, and I think the thing is, and this is something where we can all relate to Kira a bit, is there are people that we went to high school with that we haven't seen in a while and we would just love to go grab a drink with. And then there are people that we went to high school with who, like, we might still see them on Facebook, but being trapped in a small space with them and having to speak to them, say, yeah, May's shaking her head. Yeah, we don't want to do that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, and it was interesting because there was a little bit of editorial back and forth about, is Kira coming off as too judgmental? But I ultimately felt like...
Oh, I felt I really related to her. What does that say about me?
I mean, me too.
I was like, you're not being judgmental enough, Kira.
I was thinking,
don't be nice to Melanie.
Am I a snarky bitch? But I wanted her to have a strong view, and she is kind of like going back into the lion's den. Like, these women don't really care how she is. They really don't want her to be happy.
Like, they don't want her to be happy, and they're so annoyed that she's still like, even in the background of her life, sad that her mother died.
Yeah.
Like, if she even like brings it up, they're like, oh, are you still thinking about that?
Yeah.
She's like, that was my mom.
And I think that getting back again, the sister, because the one that I like, I really want.
Allison really needs to unpack Katie. She doesn't want to do it, but she's got to unpack Katie.
No, I mean, I guess I would just say, like, it's very rare that you see a sibling relationship that isn't complicated, because I think all sibling relationships are complicated and they
have, I'm an only child.
I know. And like, so Jennifer's like,
Katie wasn't that bad.
Yeah, and like the whole idea, especially when you are in these mixed groups where it's like, whose friends are they and who is the loyalty to? And is this person trying to look good in front of their friends, or are they caring about their sibling? And what is their relationship like otherwise? Like, it would have been interesting, because obviously this wasn't what happened in the book, if Kira and Katie had a different reason to get together where there were no other people around.
Yeah.
But the whole fact that it was like,
who would they be without Katie's like people. Entourage?
Yes.
And without Kira combing in thinking, oh my God, all these people are against me.
Getting texts.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of that.
Yeah. And I think like, I kind of wanted to like, get into how in some families battle lines can be drawn. Like Katie was daddy's girl and Kira was aligned with how that like her
that shapes their life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And only like her death only pronounced that way more to where it drove them completely apart. And there is maybe no getting back together for them.
And that's, again, it goes back to that, like, you really did a great job, like, with these, like, gothic themes. Like, because, you know, you had the house, you had the creepy housekeeper, you had the old wallpaper, and then you had just, like, secrets in the family and siblings who can't talk to each other, but desperately just need to just talk to each other. And you handled it so well. And I know sometimes gothic stuff and gothic elements can slow down a thriller. It didn't.
Aw, thank you for saying that.
It didn't.
That a little bit. And like,
no, it didn't. I could have had more of that, but that's also my gig. I also could have had more of just like descriptions of Katie dancing while drunk, which I thought was such a great juxtaposition from like her personality one drink in, and then like five to whatever drinks in, when you're just like describing her with her hands on her hips and her butt in the air. And I'm like, I know that woman.
I love it. Thank you.
I'm like, I'm like, I would like you to write some like things for like a Patreon or something that are just more Hilda, creepy housekeeper, and just like an entire one page, just like drabble of Katie drunk dancing.
Like, what I'm hearing is both Katie and Hilda have OnlyFans now, because I think they might.
Oh my God. Here's the way to make money, May. Katie and Hilda go out one night and there's a short story there.
I love it.
And Hilda gets her drunk on whatever from wherever country she's on, from where like she used to ice bathe in fjords.
I was going to say, whatever it is probably illegal in the United States, because it's got some other thing in it, kind of like, you know, absinthe. It's like, is there wormwood in there? It's not wormwood. It's worse.
it's worse than wormwood.
It's really bad.
Like, I brought this from my home country. And then she and Katie just because something with the will go there. Yeah. All right. Well, and go.
So we have to tie that into the flower shop murders.
Yeah.
She inherited
because it's a speakeasy in the back of the flower shop. And it's also a hipster bar.
Another refrigerated section where they keep all the flowers.
And then it's a fake wall.
And then it's a speakeasy.
Yeah.
It's a really cold speakeasy for some reason, because of the air.
It's cold because they're only serving like vodka and like weird alcohol that if it's not freezing, it's going to like burn out your esophagus.
Well, you've got to keep those raw eggs cold too.
I was going to say, it's the eggs. They do it for the eggs. Sorry. Which are, of course, farm, like grass-fed.
Yes, grass-fed.
Free-range.
Free-range.
they sing to them at night and hold them. They never go into a coop at all.
Oh, my God.
Like Gonzo and his chickens.
Uh-oh. You can always tell once we hit, like, almost the 45-minute mark when our show goes off the rails.
Okay, but I was going to say, and this was a valid thing I wanted to bring up and not just me muppeting at things, is the fact that nowhere did Kira go where she was safe, embraced, welcomed. And that had so much tension to it because it was like, hi, I'm going to get out of the firing pan here and go right into the fire. This will be better. And then like when she is going, I think somebody's been in my cabin. They're like, oh, And the fact, even when they were giving the information about how it's this part of this person's identification, I'm like, so basically anybody can get into anybody else's. I don't feel safe with this, and I'm just reading it.
I know. I was just like, wait, you can get it. You could get, like, I was there, like a guest. I'm like, you can get into my cabin with the last four digits of my cell phone number.
And I'm like, that.
And then I'm like, oh, I'm not there.
That's racist.
and also, nobody knows my cell phone number.
I was going to say, even I don't think I've ever called you not via Facebook. So I mean, nobody.
Has I feel like even phone. If I asked my husband right now what my last four digits of my cell phone number would be.
So you would be the final girl because
no one knows.
That's my dream. I mean, not to be attacked by like any kind of mass murdering thing. So universe, don't hold that. But no, I always wanted to be scrappy enough to survive until the end. But I know full well I'm such a baby. I would just be like, kill me first.
No, I don't think so. I think you've got final girl vibe. You got flower murder shop final girl vibe.
Flower shop murder. Oh my God. The flower shop murder girl vibe. Oh,
I'd go out first because I would trip and fall. Like I wouldn't, I mean, well, there's also that. Run, but I would just be falling down. I'm like, and I'm done. But no,
I would be eating out of an open refrigerator with headphones in, just like, and then somebody would be like, oh, it's so easy to murder her while she's just shoving cold macaroni and cheese in her mouth.
She's not even making this hard for us. No, you were saying your dream was to never get phone calls. And I'm like, yeah, that's all of our dreams. Nobody wants to be on the phone anymore.
I'm like, not the only one who likes phone calls. I hate texts. I hate them. I feel like someone's grabbing.
So how can we communicate with you, May? You're like, I don't call me and don't text me. Don't.
Phone call. I love it.
A phone call?
You too? So easy. Texts are so hard for me. I don't know what it is. It's like, unless it's like in and out, like one answer.
Yeah, sure.
50 is because I'll be 50 in December. And so I'm used to like the corded telephone from mm-hmm. that.
We still are. But
we
I mean,
grew up with that. And that's what we're like.
But I also think I like got so many prank calls through 6th through 9th grade by bullies that now every time the phone rings to this day, I'm like, oh no, it's so-and-so asking me some stupid question about like why I don't wear a bra yet. Well, I wear one now.
Yeah.
Thanks.
No, you wear a bathing suit
now. I wear a bathing suit now. I feel like my shoulders look so weird with this background, like a David Bowie video, but bad.
No, I was laughing at the whole, like, for me, I don't like phone calls because I pace when I talk. And so I'm all over the place on the phone call, but I don't like texts. I don't mind communicating via text on Facebook or Instagram where I can type mm-hmm. into this. It's me doing this.
Yeah. No.
And go, my thumbs, that's the I'm too old for this business. Like people who now are like, and I'm like,
yeah.
No. I would like this. Mm-hmm. Or with the right person, and I know the conversation's either going to be really long and emotional, which I'm fine with. With it, somebody I like, again, correct person. Or really short, like, I'll be there at 5. Okay, done. Or it has to be like somebody who I really care about, who I also find interesting, and they could call me and say, you know what I was thinking about the other day? And it better be freaking good, but then I'd stay on the phone with you for a long time.
Well, that and one thing you don't have to worry about that I do is whenever I get on the phone, I have a 7-year-old like, who is it? I want to say hi. And then he's like,
I know he's done that when we've...
Yeah, no, you've been there. You've been like
yeah, okay, he's done that when we've been on the phone.
Are you done?
Okay. As I'm like, hey, mother. Oh.
To Rafferty. No, and that's part of it. Like, even if I'm just talking to my dad, and my dad, his hearing is not the greatest. So my little, and he's like, what did you say? I'm like, I don't even know. Don't worry about it. Just take the phone back. I don't have that when I'm typing on the computer and I can have a private adult conversation without worrying about little ears and little mouths going, I want to say hi.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like typing. Like I'll do, different messaging, whatever. And I like being connected to people. I am on a social media break, not Facebook, but Instagram.
I know. I'm like, no, you're not. Like publicly shaming you. No, you responded to my Facebook message like 2 hours ago.
I'm on Facebook, but not the others. I can't. Yeah. Now I'm like, I rarely take breaks, and I'm like,
Now there's also a billion of them because of the implosion of Twitter. And now that Twitter is in, or whatever is happening there, I was never super active there. And then I accidentally joined a bunch more places, and I'm not active anywhere.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it's too much. I'm overwhelmed. Yeah. I can do Facebook.
Yeah.
That's kind of what.
And Instagram is for my dog.
Yeah.
And yeah, Instagram's for your dog. And that's what a lot of people are saying. And that's part of the problem, is that nobody has really congregated to any specific site yet. And so for those of us who are doing things like, hey, I want to make sure people watch our show, I can't even keep track of how many places I feel like I need to let people know it exists on, because I don't know who is anywhere anymore. And I feel like half people just said, I don't care anymore. Social media is over. Like, the too many of them just made it just canceled everything.
Yeah, it's done.
But I think there's still, you know, Facebook is the one that, like, it's like, I can't quit you.
Yeah.
Like,
Facebook.
Yeah. Even though, like, nobody loves it necessarily, but this is where most of us are.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like sort of persisted as the same thing. It hasn't changed.
It hasn't, yeah. Like, oh, now what I'm going to do is let in a whole group of Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And be like, now you have all the rights and other people don't. Oh, and you can't block anybody anymore. Like,
yeah, right.
So it's Facebook, we know what we're getting. And and I've always had, like, for me, just like if we're talking social media as authors, I get more return, quote unquote, or whatever, from Facebook than I ever have on other places.
Me too. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But Allison, you were a hashtag RIP Twitter person.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Kelly says Facebook is our perennial vow renewal party. Yes, it is. I mean, it is, but part of it is, I feel like I was able to connect with more authors out there and be able to just talk to other people in that way. Whereas on Facebook, it doesn't, because there aren't hashtags and things like that, it's harder to find other people that way, other than like friends of friends of friends. So like that, you kind of expand in a different way on there. But the thing I do like about Facebook, besides being our perennial vow renewal party, is that I'm able to set some things for private and some things for public. Yeah. So not everybody needs to
see pictures of your kids, because that would be creepy.
It is creepy, which is why I keep them off of any of my author stuff. So people were like, oh, she's very egocentric. She never posts pictures of, well, yeah, because you guys are a bunch of creeps. So I'm like, no, you're not seeing my almost 13-year-old daughter ever. But also I share it on Facebook with a private setting for my family, who's mostly back east, who otherwise don't get to see her. So
yeah. Where are you from back east?
Pennsylvania. So all my people are
Amish.
No, well, not Amish. Come on. But, like, some of them are
go
that
with the
area.
Lie, Allison. Go yes, with I'm the Amish. Lie.
Yes, I'm off on my Rumspringer.
You went on Rumspringer and then you never came back.
Right. No.
That's like, the origin story for your romance name.
I mean, I did. I'm five Rumspringer, and then I just fell in the hot tub. No, but just I do like the fact that I'm able to communicate with them, especially because, as you guys know, my mother did pass away, and so family who would visit more frequently, they don't anymore, partially because my dad now lives in a smaller place and he has a new wife, and so it's not the same as like my organic family coming back and visiting, so we just don't see him as much. So if I didn't have Facebook, they'd be like, do you have children? How many again? I lost track of how many there are, instead of here they are lined up in size order.
Well, see here. So this is going to bring it right back to A Likable Woman before we end, because this is the relationship that Katie and Kira have, because, you know, she, you know, goes back home for the first time in a really long time and meets her nieces. And that is so much more realistic than anybody can understand unless they've lived it.
Mm-hmm. And Regina wants to ask about what we think of Blue Sky so far. And I will say Blue Sky seems fine. The only complaint I have is, like, I went to tag May, and I don't even know if you're on there, but I couldn't find you. But part of it is my only complaint about it is because it's been invitation based so far. It's hard to know who's on it because not everybody is. And some people don't want to be because it's just too many now. And other people are like, I want to, but I don't have an invitation. And there's something in me that just kind of rankles against the whole, oh, you haven't been asked yet. Last pick for PE, didn't get invited to the party. Now I can't even be on social media because I'm not cool enough. And I, you know, Yeah. That just,
it's weird. I mean,
but I do understand why they did it though, just for logistics. So it
and also they didn't want it to crash and burn the way, like whatever was before Threads that we all joined for a hot minute that crashed and burned. I can't even remember anymore.
What it was.
You know, it is what it is. I joined Blue Sky. Thank you, Allison. You sent me an invite. And then our dear friend Bracken McLeod, like the next day was like, you still need an invite? And then like the day after that, somebody was like, do you need an invite? And I'm like,
no, you know, I don't. You got the first invite.
And but here's the thing. It's like, I joined it because I felt like I had to. I've never been active there, but sometimes I feel like you just have to claim your name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I understand that.
Oh, that's a good
And then just like, let it sit there.
I didn't think about that. That's a damn good point.
Because like, I sure as heck can't post on all of these places when I never posted on RIP Twitter. Like I would post there like once a week.
Yeah.
A moment of silence for Hive.
That was going to
drop. Oh, it was Hive.
Thinking about
I tried to go right into Hive. I tried to believe in it because I was like, if I get in on the ground floor, maybe I'll like it. And then I was like super active for a week and then it like melted,
mm-hmm.
like physically melted their own internal computers and it didn't exist anymore. And that's when I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Oh, yeah. It's exhausting. I'm not getting anything else right now other than I can't even really do the TikTok thing. I haven't figured
out. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
Really?
No. I mean, physically, I think, know how to do it, but and I guess maybe it's my age. I'm an Instagram, Facebook person.
And I think part of it is also one of the things when I
also my laziness factor.
There's things about it. I've posted a couple times. 3 people have seen it and thought my content was lovely. But I would say though that the people and the types of books that do really well there are not the kinds of books that any of us are really writing.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's a specific kind of reader and in aesthetic.
And that's great that they've found it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. That's why I'm just like, oh my God, enough. You know.
Enough. It's like, look, we're writing like weird stuff. That like you're not like being able to like do like a dance like, yeah. It's a murder book. It's a blah. It's dystopian.
Okay, and Kelly, you should just throw all of us under the bus. It's not your age. It's our age.
Oh, Kelly, you were supposed to say we're all super young and fun still. Yeah. Kelly, you won a Voxy.
We're taking back the Voxy for out of our age. No, and it is
Kelly. You should Kelly should actually rewrite right now. Oh, I thought you guys were all in your early 30s.
Early
30s. That's been a long time.
This is when both Jennifer and I claim the ages of our husbands who are younger than us, and then remove some ages from that too. Like, sure.
Oh, no, I don't have to remove any ages from my husband. He's 34.
He's so young.
I know. No, I would, you know, I would add 2 years onto that and be fine with it.
Like, I'm fine with that. And I, you know, I'm honestly happy with how old I am. The fact that I'm
how old? Don't say it like
no, but I know how old I am in terms of like, I feel like for a person of my age, I am okay with how things are going for me in life in general. And I'm not like, well, I've given up on life at my age. But it is sometimes one of those things where I go, I wish my low back didn't hurt all the time. But that's been a problem since I was 13. So blaming it on being old is like, you're kind of trying to find a scapegoat for something that's been a problem for more than 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's not really fair.
Well, for me, I'm okay with being whatever, almost 50, because I still feel like 13, but
right.
But I don't know how I'm ever going to retire.
You won't, because
no, we never will.
We don't have to. We just do.
Our retirement plan is death. You just keep typing until
maybe there's longer periods between releases. Maybe the schedule slows down a bit as your backlist grows, and that's fine. The retirement plan for
and then somebody will gift you a 22-year-old ghostwriter. You'll go, should I murder her? That's my final work.
Yeah.
I'm the final girl.
I like it.
Oh God, ghost write that down.
Creating ghosts.
Death is the retirement plan. I love that. Thank you for absolving all my bad.
Oh yeah, you don't.
You're not retiring.
Yeah, no, Roman and I, my husband, we say this a lot. We're always just like, oh, we should have planned more for like our actual future. And I'm like, no. We just like, you just keep working until you're dead, but in kind of a good way.
Yeah. And it's like, work
if you just like, rebrand it. As
yeah.
Like,
if you like what you're doing and you're not going into an office and dealing with awful people or doing something where like, I physically can't do it. Authors, we don't need to retire.
No.
At this rate, hopefully I'll have a book deal before I'm legal retirement age. I mean, we're getting up there, but it could happen. We don't know. But
pushing back that retirement age every year. So.
I know. See, that's my,
we've got more and more time.
I mean, my dad hasn't retired, but that's not because he's not the legal retirement.
May.
Retire if you're watching this, please
do. May, we love you. Thank you for coming on the show. I need to wrap it up because it's been like an hour.
It is an hour.
Dude,
thank you.
I have to go to children's school.
I love you all. Oh,
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, bikini shot last time.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, sunglasses.
Oh, and before you close out, I know we should have announced and we didn't because we had some different weird scheduling. My show has thrown the scheduling for this show into crazy stuff because I was chasing around an Australian author. And until I had that locked in, I didn't want to move other people around. But we have Nisha Tully, who won publishing. She's coming on next week. But that also is because I have this Saturday. I know my show's not on a Saturday. It is this week. I have a show where I'm going to be on Saturday, and Stacey McEwen in Australia, it's going to be Sunday for her. So time if you're travel. Around this weekend, 4 p.m. for me, I don't even know what it is for her. She's on the Gold Coast in Australia. It's not even a real place. So To the Moon Allison will be there. Ben will be back next week with Vox, with Nisha Tully.
And so excited about that. I literally read the first page.
I know
because
it's
not my normal thing. Because I just finished May's book. I know it's not my normal thing. But here's the thing. I'm already trying to figure out what I'm going to wear.
You would.
like that's immediately, I was just like, oh, this could be some good costumes.
I mean, I'm already thinking of what I'm going to be eating during the show. And that's way more normal for me. Like, ooh, I get
you
to have
You do food, fries. I'll do something strange. I mean, I want that too.
It is an Indian inspired style fantasy, so it'll be amazing. It's very good.
Very good. May, thank you so much for being here. You are welcome back anytime. We didn't even get to talk about whatever you're working on next, but I know we will hear about it soon.
Babies.
I'll call you. Thanks for wearing your sunglasses. I should have kept mine on. We love you, May. Thank you for not rubbing anything strange into your eyeballs.
I love y'all too. Thanks.
During the show. But yeah, we love you. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, long comment.
That's